This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is the General Manager of U.S. Federal and Government Industries at IBM and Altman, and we've been trying to set this up for a while. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mark, and we have. It's been way too long, so I'm delighted to be with you today.
Yeah, I think I've seen you like three or four times in the interim, so.
Yeah, maybe we should just go for, you know, on-the-spot interviews.
Well, yeah, if I were Jason, I'd be carrying around a microphone, and then I could just ask you questions. And then we'd both get in trouble, but that's besides the point. Let's, for the three people out there maybe who don't know who you are, tell people who you are, what you do at IBM, and a little bit of your background, please.
Oh, okay. Well, very briefly, I am the general manager for IBM's federal government business, which includes all of our services, our technology, hardware, and software, and sales organization. IBM Federal is IBM's largest client in the world, and it's been a passion of mine forever to serve in the public sector. So we try to do the very best bringing innovation to the federal government every day.
And for as long as I've known you, which is longer than I care to say on the air.
You can't say that.
you've always been at IBM.
I have always been at IBM. So I started in IBM as a systems engineer. I grew up through sales. I went into marketing, software, services, technology, but always with IBM. And I've done global roles as well as this P&L role, which is, like I said, where my passion really lies.
Yeah, and I've known a number of your marketing people over the years, and you always surround yourself with some really good folks. So,
thank you.
Well,
thanks.
You know,
great team.
It is what it is, right?
It's a great team for
there
sure.
You go. Okay, let's dive into a couple of issues here, and we have several topics to discuss. Your team sent me some thoughts here. What's the deal with commercial apps being applicable to this market?
Well, Mark, today the world's experiencing incredible changes, and in large part it's powered by big data, analytics, mobile, social, cloud, right? And these technology shifts are really inspiring government leaders to think about and change how decisions are going to be made. It's helping them think about the business design, how their teams will work, and it's certainly driving a reassessment of how they deliver value and serve constituents. So what we think about is how do you transform data to make it meaningful, actionable, to improve outcome and mission effectiveness. So when we think about that, where most folks go is to, I have to gather insights from the data, and the way I will do that is through analytics. But it's very important for our audience to listen and think about the fact that it's government analyzing information patterns from all kinds of sources, external, internal, and they're doing that so that they can eliminate blind spots, and there are tools and technologies today for these commercial environments or commercial applications that would allow for predictive versus reactive response or prescriptive responses through analytics.
Okay, so you guys want to help the government apply these things. We've seen the government try to go commercial apps on and off now for 30-plus years. Yes?
Yeah, at least 30 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, you know, as long as I've been playing. But, you know, sometimes I don't see the attention span necessary to make it successful. Is that an issue?
In terms of how the government pursues or applies commercial technology and solutions?
Yes.
Well, I think they often turn to the private sector to understand how they can implement commercial solutions. And today, much of that is based on open standards, data integration, and interoperability. So to your point, back some 30 years ago, where things were custom designed, oftentimes proprietary in nature, it was more difficult for the government to implement that with a systems view, an end-to-end view. Today, I think government leaders and look at this as a way to accelerate mission value, and they're no longer concerned about, do we build it? Rather, how do I apply that which will be open and easy to integrate?
Okay. So on the open standard size, how do you guys advise your client base on various IT issues? And I know you do a lot in the cloud, so why don't we take a look at that?
Sure. Of course, you know, governments are always complex and fragmented by nature. And governments today, not just here in federal, but globally, are embracing cloud of all types with many vendors. And they're doing this for the need to have application portability and to improve interoperability and to manage clearly their own budget demands. And what open standards brings to the table is the ability to do this integration, breaking down barriers between clouds within government, as well as driving the ability for workload portability. So when I think about that, I think about OpenStack, about cloud standards, open protocols, which ensure today that the cloud will have accessibility. In fact, Mark, IBM has what we call our open cloud architecture and cloud foundry. The name for that, the code name, was Bluemix. And what that does is it enables developers to rapidly build, deploy, and manage cloud applications while at the same time being able to tap into this growing ecosystem of services and runtime frameworks. This is kind of the potential for government to embrace, because applications will be built and they will be dramatically reduced in time to provision those applications. They'll allow for flexible capacity. They'll help help close that gap for technical resources, because not every agency has all the technical development resources they need. And, of course, all of that with the promise of lowering total cost of ownership. So it's really exciting time for open standards and cloud for government.
Well, the government's kind of between a rock and a hard place. I mean, you mentioned that sometimes they don't have the in-house technical expertise to do this, and we have the perpetual noise from, and I don't want you to comment on this, but we have the perpetual noise from Capitol Hill saying, you know, government people are overpaid, you know, nonsense issues, and the 1102 community, which is grossly overworked and undertrained. So, you know, deploying your technologies in there has become probably harder than ever. Yes, no, maybe. That part you can comment on. Forget about my comment about the Hill.
Well, I think what's exciting now, if you step back, is that there are a variety of offerings for a scalable cloud, enterprise and public cloud, that the government can use. So there's an opportunity for secure and scalable provisioning of IT services and an application environment that allows for rapid development for many providers to the government, as well as government developers, to access. The real question will be how, and what the challenge is for the government, is how they will evaluate the application of cloud to their mission. And that is, most agencies will likely move toward what I would call hybrid cloud. They'll have enterprise computing requirements that will be on-premise and mission secure, and they'll have they'll access public cloud or less critical services that they'll host on public clouds, and they'll need to be able to connect between both of those. And that is really the beauty of how you create this this new software architecture that I was describing called Bluemix, which would allow for you to be able to build and deploy across those. IBM, of course, is a cloud provider. We have compliant offerings, FedRAMP, FISMA-compliant offerings, and we are building two new data centers as I speak for the federal client on our SoftLayer cloud premise.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today is Ann Altman, the general manager of all of the federal activity for IBM. Back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Ann Altman, the general manager of U.S. federal government for IBM. And again, Ann, thanks for joining me. I know we've coordinating with somebody like you is not always easy, but you know I appreciate your staff's persistence in this.
Thank you.
And Catchem's help as well. So let's talk a little bit about the current scope of your portfolio. And we've touched on a little bit of the places that it fits, but let's go there for a little while.
Okay. You know, Mark, when you think about IBM, I'm not sure what your audience immediately jumps to, but we try to bring the full depth and breadth of IBM from research to deep industry domain expertise across all industries, healthcare, finance, et cetera, and, of course, our government expertise. And we've been around for over 100 years, and the IBM business has always been grounded in the United States federal government. So we see ourselves at the forefront of, I think, every major technology innovation, and that in itself makes us a trusted contractor within the government. And we could talk from the very beginning. We started with the Social Security system, or the first manned trip to space, or, you know, think about all the supercomputing requirements that have been fulfilled over time with the government.
How supercomputing has changed. And one of your digressions out of the market was into IBM's huge iron arena. Right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And when I left out of the federal market to go run the mainframe division, it was, in fact, to bring the view of the client, the voice of the client, to that division of IBM. So when our chairman asked me to do that, it was, Ann, I want you to bring the requirements of the market in, because you're going to be working with, you know, thousands of IBMers who are in their own right are experts and talented engineers and developers, but not out in the front line with clients every day. So we introduced 2 years later, you know, the next generation of the mainframe.
Watson.
Now, Watson is the next generation of computing, really.
Yes.
Cognitive computing, which is very exciting. And of course, we're doing work with the government around Watson. And I would tell you, Mark, we are a solutions company. We've always been a solutions company. We in the field of services, we're not going to be a staff augmentation firm. We are a prime contractor. We've been a prime contractor for thousands of projects, large and small, helping agencies to, you know, navigate the implementation hurdles, large and small. And now, you know, as government agencies are at the early stages of adopting cloud computing, back to our earlier conversations, I think we're really looked to help them understand how to intelligently adopt and implement private and public cloud to support mission needs. We acquired SoftLayer. I think touched on that. We acquired SoftLayer just last year, and that has added tremendous scalability for cloud. And we've even had some clients move from their cloud services provider over to the SoftLayer cloud on IBM. So we have a, your question really was the portfolio, and we work across the entire breadth of the federal government. On cloud, you know, we're working with Department of Interior. They had a major procurement and IDIQ contract. We've received our first task order off of that, and that's a $1 billion program. And we, of course, work with General Services Administration. The GSA is deploying a smart cloud for government, and they're creating a new order management services system that is using advanced analytics to improve their supply chain and help them predict customer needs. So that's, you know, again, right up IBM's alley, smart cloud, analytics, understanding and depth of understanding of supply chain. And we've done some other really cool things with the GSA, like we installed advanced smart building technologies for the 50 highest offenders for energy consumption in the federal government. And that project is just amazing. You know, it's connecting building management systems to a cloud platform to improve the efficiency and savings, which we think will be about $15 million annually.
Well, probably more, because, you know, once you roll out across all of the government facilities, that just gets huge.
Absolutely. So 50 was the starting point.
Right.
And you can really just imagine how extraordinary that would be for the government across all of the buildings that they have and all the real estate here and across the United States.
Let me throw out a couple of generic topics here and tell me how they play into your portfolio. You've mentioned big data a couple of times. What's IBM's role here?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, if you listen to our CEO, Ginni Rometty, she clearly says, and I totally agree, data is the new natural resource. So if you take that as an example, whether we're just surrounded by data. Everything is instrumented, and everything is delivering data, but it's not data that's consumed and used to satisfy a mission requirement. Until you capture that data, both that which is inside your walls, the structured data, unstructured, text, video, voice, etc., and all the data that's coming from various sources, and until you analyze all of that, you really don't know how to extract or have insights to it. So big data is absolutely the most critical focus for IBM. And then all the things that surround that, how do you secure data? How do you support and scale your infrastructure through cloud and technology to support the management of that?
So take the security side there. I know that you've been very active in the cyber realm, maybe even as far back as that first 15 feet of cable that made the first network. But it's always been kind of a stepchild for agencies until the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Well, look, cybersecurity is very serious business, and I need not say that, right? Every day you look, the headlines are filled with reports of data breaches and cyber attacks, and in fact, and there's a significant economic impact. We are conducting a couple studies right now with the Poneman Institute, and what the Poneman Institute has revealed is that the average cost of a data breach itself increased by 15% globally in 2013. And it's about $6 million immediate impact, but the brand equity loss, so I can't quite put this in terms for government what the brand equity loss would be, but for a private concern, that's about $9 million per attack. So this is very big concern, and it means that organizations probably, if they're not, they need to be putting in an approach that works now. Our approach is to prevent and respond to cyber attacks, our view is featuring an integrated system that works to disrupt advanced threats, prevent security breaches and data loss, and ultimately helps organizations find and secure their most sensitive data. So This is a burgeoning opportunity. It's an emerging space for everyone, and it's one that no question we have to pay attention to.
It's huge, and it's not going to go away ever.
That's right. Absolutely, as we see with the news. Even yesterday, I saw an article about the latest, holding individuals ransom, right, for ransom with a cyber lock.
Right. Yeah. The horrible. I'd like to shoot them, but we won't go there either. we'll take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about health IT and a few other things coming down the pike. Back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower because nobody else volunteered. My guest today is Ann Altman, the general manager of U.S. Federal for IBM. You may have heard of them. So I'm not done asking you about the technologies you're in. I know you guys have gotten into health IT in just a tremendously big way. So let's talk a bit about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I don't believe that for a second, Mark, that no one else volunteered. But, IBM has been in the healthcare business for a very long time. What maybe your audience doesn't think of about IBM outside of the federal space is that we're the leading healthcare IT company in the world, and we are the IT infrastructure underneath the majority of health systems here in the United States and abroad. So on the world stage, IBM is often synonymous with healthcare, both payer and provider. But in the federal government, of course, that's something that's just come to light, I think, because of this major historical and pivotal opportunity in government healthcare. So for those of your audience who are not familiar with the procurement that is upcoming, the Department of Defense is going to issue a procurement around military health that really supports what's called the quadruple aim. That's force readiness, population health, patient experience, and responsibly managed cost. And as they do this, they will be serving 9.8, that's their number, million beneficiaries. These are active duty retirees and their dependents. So a globally deployed healthcare delivery system to support our military families. And so it's very exciting. Of course, it's far more, I believe it should be far more than an EHR, but it is going to be transformational for the Department of Defense. And so I'm very excited about that because it allows for IBM to invest and bring the breadth of our expertise and talent from both commercial and governments globally for this opportunity.
Okay, so that goes back to our first point, how you're bringing commercial apps to the market, and this is in a very big way.
Absolutely. And one of the great things about how we operate is that we're able to, and I do, integrate within my own organization team members from different areas of the company. So I have my chief innovation officer right out of research and development. I have the expertise from our global healthcare practices embedded working with my team and supporting for this upcoming opportunity. So we just do an awful lot together with the deep domain expertise that we build within IBM. We have no issue crossing boundaries within the company.
That's odd in a way because I know other companies in the market that have some very stovepipe-like structures, and they have difficulty talking to each other inside. In fact, oftentimes they find themselves competitive. So you are to be commended once again.
Thank you. So that's this DoD opportunity is extraordinary. And the other thing I would just mention to your audience is that when you think about the pride we have in our country and in our government, this procurement is being watched by other governments and by healthcare systems globally. It is so when I travel outside the country, they want to talk about this procurement. And the reason is because of the size and because of the importance of this transformation for the military.
Cool. I'm going to switch gears totally here. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the how small businesses can play with IBM, the role of your SBLO, et cetera. So, first of all, is the main SBLO office in your Herndon facility or your Maryland facility?
Well, we kind of spread ourselves between Maryland and Herndon and D.C., so I wouldn't say that there's one. It's all three, and it's where, so if people want to reach out, they can find us online, or they can send a note to me at altmana@us.ibm.com. What we're doing, Mark, is we're looking to expand in a very big way our small business relationships. We actively look for organizations in the services realm, in particular, with past performance, right? We look for those firms with past performance, with unique skills and relationships in the market, along with any procurement vehicles that would be beneficial to the acquisition process. That's important today because of the government's preference for a lot of small businesses. In fact, we just participated in the ACT-IAC Small Business Conference here in Washington to help form new relationships. And, of course, I'm also very engaged with MVTC, and we have a very strong small business engagement there. And we're looking very closely at how we collaborate with the companies that are working on STARS, too. But in addition to that, Mark, you know, as we've been talking throughout discussion. As we've talked about this, we talked about cloud and the impact there. I am meeting with firms. Some of these are very small application developers, 10-person, 15-person, small firms that have really innovative capabilities, and they are looking to build those applications in the cloud, and so there gives the opportunity to build in a secure environment like SoftLayer, and do that rapidly. So we're looking to expand our focus and reach with the application developers and ISVs, both in small businesses as well as application developers within the government, so that there's just much more innovation to be developed and had, if you will, for government use.
Okay, so we have SBLOs and for those not familiar, Small Business Liaison Office for IBM in three activities in the immediate D.C. area, Herndon, D.C., and Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any sort of protocol that, other than just getting in the queue, that companies should know about?
Well, I go back to you know, the characteristics that I described earlier.
Right.
Do you have a vehicle? Do you understand how to operate in the federal market? Do you have a vehicle? Do you have unique skills and relationships that you'd want to share? And also, you know, if are you familiar with IBM's technologies? Do you complement or implement IBM technologies? And then I would say the final piece is past performance. You know, what can you point to as your success? So if you have those things, then absolutely reach out to the SBLO. If you are a developer, an application developer, and you're looking for an environment that you can rapidly develop and test capability that you can take to the federal government, or partner with contractors, be it IBM or others, come to us, and we'll help you with that as well.
Okay, so, you know, rule number one is do your homework before you go to the SBLO. If you don't have anything that fits with a current IBM contract or emerging vehicle or one of the areas of expertise, that's a fairly long list.
That's right.
So homework first. I've also seen small companies show up with literally a portfolio of stuff they want to leave behind. My advice has always been, you know, one sheet. You got a one-pager, capability statement, your NAICS codes, any contractual vehicles where you've been. But, you know, the summary has to be tight, no adjectives, what you really bring to the table.
I think that's wise advice, Mark.
Well, you know, I got it from interviewing a lot of OSDBOs and SBLOs. So it comes from the horse's mouth. It's not, you know, tea leaves. So anything else on the small biz side? Because in the next segment, there's another area I would like to go to.
No, I think that's it. I mean, this great opportunity for small businesses and
IBM is open.
Contractors, yep.
Cool. All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after this message. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today, once again, the lovely and talented Ann Altman, General Manager of IBM U.S. Federal. You know, this whole concept of Watson blows me away. I'm a huge Jeopardy fan, and I watched the match with IBM, Watson versus Brad, and I can't remember Brad's last name, but here's a guy who won, you know, $3.5 million on a TV show, right? So and Watson just destroyed him. let's go back to the commercial apps here. Where does Watson play into this? And you guys have a book out on this as well. So plug the book if you want. It goes back to 2001 Space Odyssey. You know, this thing just does massive amounts of stuff.
Well, it's very, very cool. I mean, for those of us who've been in the world of IT for a long time, you know, the notion of what we might call artificial intelligence has always been, elusive, but it's exciting. And here we are, and today, Jeopardy demonstrated that the capability and the opportunity for us to apply what we call cognitive computing. Watson is really the ultimate expert assistant, and it allowed for us to develop a system that moved outside of programmable machines. You know, most everything, email, every process today is programmed, into what now we call cognitive. Watson is a cognitive machine. It learns. And so I think, you know, what you're going to see here, Mark, is that it's starting to translate into real value, real industries through deep understanding of the corpus of specific domains, like healthcare, as an example. So I think even in the government, you're going to see some early adopters using Watson to improve decision support. Let me just think about that for a moment. How would you apply that? The federal health delivery system, we were just talking about the defense procurement. Mm-hmm. But think about if the federal health delivery system has, which has always been in the forefront of innovation, if you were to look at how VA and DOD, both of those agencies, you know, have been innovative. They had their own electronic health records 20 years ago. But these agencies are inundated today with data, and they have to find different ways to approach making fact-based decisions more quickly. So I'm thinking that applying Watson or Watson technology in the federal health arena would make perfect sense because of the deep industry domain, because this is where IBM first demonstrated Watson in commercial value with organizations like MD Anderson, Memorial Sloan Kettering, the Cleveland Clinic, and WellPoint. I think we can now apply that learning to applications specific to the United States government.
Very cool. Very cool. You guys also have a different aspect that you can bring to the table several, I guess it's a couple of decades ago now, you established the IBM Center for the Business of Government. And for listeners to Federal News Radio, they know that it exists because they have their own show now. But about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, their first appearance on Federal News Radio was John Kaminsky on my show. But it's a think tank funded by IBM, and it just generates some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you for one, having John on your first show and for remembering the Center for Business of Government. It's been around for, you said, I think now 14, 15 years. I'm not exactly sure. 1998. Do the math,
been,
I guess.
Been a while. 16,
and,
yeah.
And we've what we do is we award research stipends, right? So we award research stipends to public management researchers and academia, nonprofit communities. And then we work with those communities to develop reports. And so I think we've got more than 200 reports that are on our website today. And they're always focused on major issues facing government, you know, whether it's financial management or human capital management or, you know, managing for performance and results. There are always topics that are of importance to the government.
Mm-hmm. And you staff this with just, you know, some really top talent. Dan Chernock's over there. John Kaminsky's over there.
We do. It's a very thin team that has a great. They have a lot of gray matter, and they have a lot of reach into others who are really, really bright and knowledgeable, and it works because we often get you know, contributors, people who reach in and say, we really like to explore this topic. And of course we work in partnership with a lot of the associations as well.
Yeah, but you know, it is a major differentiator because a lot of people talk about thought leadership, and a lot of people assume the mantle of thought leadership. The IBM Center for the Business of Government is a perfect example of thought leadership in action. So,
well, thank you, and not to compete, but there's also the Business of Government Hour, and that's often
a nice
program for government executives.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I listen myself.
Thank you.
I want to touch on one my favorite topic before I let you go, and that is LinkedIn. You are a user of LinkedIn, and I appreciate that personally because oftentimes people at your level really do not engage on the social platform. Is there any particular reason that you actually try to spend a little time there?
You know, I like many people, I'm learning where to apply social media, how to use it effectively, and what the impact will be. LinkedIn is an interesting venue because it's really the business community connection, right? And so I try to post now things that I find of interest or of importance, and mostly it's related to my business or things that I find interesting that I want to share with those people who are connected to me. If I could say one thing to your audience again, because I have so many people who fail to realize that if you want to connect with someone, you need to explain why you want to connect, and versus just sending a connection, because
don't send the form letter.
That's right.
And believe me, every time I do a training session, public or private, one-on-one or one-on-many, that is an issue that comes up. Why are all these people reaching out to me? And it's not just for people at your level. I mean, it's pervasive across the board, and people just don't understand that if you click connect, the form letter is going to go out. So
that's right,
and that's not the way to do it. It really isn't. And thank you so much for spending some time with me. And you know, we'll do it again, and hopefully it won't take quite as long setup. So I appreciate the help of your staff and the folks over there at Ketchum in setting this up for you. And you know.
Thank you. It's been a delight to be on your show, and thank you very much for including me.
Thanks so much. This is not my day job. If you need to improve your marketing program, particularly if you want to start leveraging LinkedIn as an individual or a company, give me a call. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.